Good evening, everybody. Holy crap. We just got done watching episode 5, Remember It. For folks that are fans of the crappy Star Wars 1, 2, and 3, Bo DeMaio, who's no longer with the project for X-Men 97, just showed you how to write a definitive cartoon or show, depressing show. Amazing. The artwork was beautiful. We had a lot of mutants in Remember It. We had Exodus. Nightcrawler. Oh my god, I love Nightcrawler.
You see, I can't. It's been too long, but I feel like he was a lot more somber in the original version of the show.
Well, he was living in a monastery, and he was controlled by monks. And he had to teach Wolverine religion. And he was just trying to get Wolverine, who was going through an existential crisis of faith, about how to restore that faith. So when Nightcrawler first was introduced in the X-Men series, was I think probably the last season, or the next to last season, but it was a fantastic episode. So Nightcrawler dealing with faith kind of is what Remember It is about. So, I mean, just phenomenal. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I want to acknowledge X-Men 97, that it was a spiritual welcoming to me. I just spazzed all over, and it was just amazing. Oh my God. This was fantastic. X-Men 97, Episode 5. It had Cable in it. It has some life-changing events. Now, I can go rambling on about how amazing X-Men 97 Episode 5 was and is and ever will be. It's like Ric Flair being the best there is was Bret Hart. Well, that's what Episode 5 is. It was phenomenal masterclass of how to say, take my money, I'm Kevin Feige, you're going to like our X-Men. Yes. 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 Holy cow. Okay, Brother Doom, my government brother, what are your thoughts?
Well, you can't crap on 1, 2, and 3 anymore because 7, 8, and 9, that's the new thing that the hate on is 7, 8, and 9.
Yes, 7, 8, and 9 was horrible. Star Wars, but look, I'm okay that you had a woman in Daisy Ridley who was good, but then you didn't have her connect to anybody until, oh, let's retcon her and let's make her the granddaughter of Emperor Palpatine. Oh my God, great reveal. And oh my God, that last Star Wars film. Oh, who's the main villain? Out of nowhere, Emperor Palpatine is back. No hint, no nothing. Oh, he's just there. He's just been in the background all this time. Just there. But wait, there's more. It was Palpatine. Now let's not talk more about that crap. Let's talk about the main event, the showstopper, X-Men 97. What are your thoughts? I acknowledge you, Brother Doom.
Well, one thing, it's just so many thoughts. My quote was, as I was watching Magneto take on the Mega Master Mold, was like, who is this weak man wearing Magneto's costume? Because, like so far, like, it's just, I mean, okay, well, you don't really have two fights. The Sentinel fight in this episode and him going up against Madeline, well, the Goblin Queen. And in both cases, though, he just, like, struggled. And it's like, this is Magneto, man. It's like, I mean, I can't recall him getting his ass kicked in the original series. Like, he was an Avengers-level threat. Like, they couldn't take him on. And so, seeing him, and unfortunately, it is what happens. Whenever the bad guy joins the good guys, they have to balance things so that they're not steamrolling. But it's just really pronounced, you know, because he was mad. Like, he's watching his people get slaughtered again. They will be avenged. He is using a monorail. As a whip to, you know, attack this, like, what was this, a Mega Mold? Because, I mean, that's...
It was like a Mega Power Ranger, Super Sentinel, I'm gonna get you sucker type of day.
You know, it was deploying other Sentinels, and, So yeah, like Magneto seemed a little underwhelming, and you know, then he possibly died. You know, there's a lot to unpack there. You know, he heroically sacrificed himself, blocking Rogue and Remy from the blast, and so I'm thinking because they established it with how the episode ended that, you know, oh, there are stakes here. So I'm on the team that he died, but brother, you have an alternate take.
I think that Leech dampened his powers enough that there was no signs of Magneto. So I really think that he is still alive because he's Magneto, and you did not see him actually die. Mm-hmm. You didn't see the body disintegrate. They just stopped breathing. So I believe they're all alive. I'm going to have to watch this episode again to have more definitive clues and truths to this. I also think maybe that Magneto could be a clone. Maybe he's Zorn. Maybe he's somebody else. I'm having, because you see in this one...
Well, that was a convoluted storyline, so I can understand that you're confused. But see, the thing is, Zorn never existed. Or at least in the beginning, Zorn was just Magneto in a... under a guise, and then the real Zorn, the twin brother of, which is weird how you can't have a twin brother of a false person, but yeah, so, like, Zorn was a made-up persona that Magneto used to infiltrate the X-Men before revealing himself and trying to, reverse the poles, the magnetic poles of the planet or some such nonsense, and so then it was revealed, you know, like, Zorn didn't exist, and then the real Zorn showed up. And then Zorn doesn't show up anymore because the X-Men, like any comic book, introduce characters every decade. Some are hits, some are not. And speaking of hit characters, I think people like Pixie because she cameoed in here. I know people like Exodus.
Oh my God, I was so happy that Exodus was on this show. He's just a major badass. I mean, when he was in Fatal Attraction, I was saying, well, why doesn't Exodus just take down... Magneto, because he's like, would he be considered an external?
Well, is that a concept they still use anymore?
They do, technically. So, technically, he's an immortal. He's one of the oldest mutants on Earth. He kind of predate Apocalypse. So, Apocalypse is the oldest. And then it's...
Well, don't let Selene hear that, because Selene and Apocalypse, okay. they get into a kind of a measuring contest in regards to who's the oldest.
Can you, for those that may not know who Selene is, can you explain who Selene is?
Oh yeah, Selene is a well-regarded lieutenant in the vampire army, and she is got really close to one of the vampire patriarchs, not Marcus, was it Victor? That's Underworld. But fun fact, Selene was named in the Underworld movies was named for Selene in the comics because she's sort of a vampire, but she drains life force in a different way. Like, so instead of blood, she just like kind of rogues it, and she drinks. So you're dead.
Stop! Like, we just mentioned Underworld. Kate Beckinsale. Well, she just a one-hit wonder. I mean, she was beautiful. She's smoking hot. She's still smoking hot. But just a one-hit wonder type of deal. Continue on with your soliloquy of Selene.
Well, yes, and so Selene is a powerful mutant who knows magic and can manipulate the four Greek elements. So, any inorganic substances, I think that's what it was, because earth, wind, water, and fire, that's crystal. So, I think it was inorganic substances plus magic plus, you know, life force training. And so she is a member of the Hellfire Club. And also was part of the Necrotia event. So, you know, they can do that now since, oh, dear sweet God, they killed a lot of people on Genosha. So, I'm not sure what the population of Genosha is in the X-Men 97. But in the comics, Genosha had a population of, like, 2 million, 6 million. And 99% of them got slaughtered in one day by a Sentinel attack. Now, it's much more complicated in the comics. It's, All right, buckle up, folks. So, a astral plane entity known as Cassandra Nova came across Professor X while he was developing in the womb, and she made herself into a copy of Professor X with his powers, and inserted herself in the womb. So, like, he was going to, like, basically have this artificial twin born with him. But Professor X sensed her evil and attempted to murder her while they were still in the womb together. It didn't take, and many, many moons later, she was able to reconstitute herself. And so she looks like Charles Xavier, but as a woman and has psychic powers and no morals. And she tracked down a relative of Bolivar Trask and scanned, copied his DNA so that she could command the Sentinels on this unknown Sentinel-making base. And then made these like special Sentinels that were, I think they had plastic in them, so they were immune to, you know, Magneto's powers, and sent them off to Genosha to slaughter them all because Cassandra Nova is, well, a very, very bad person. So here, you remove Cassandra Nova, and it's just somebody made those Sentinels. We don't know who. If it could be the government, and they're trying, maybe not. You know, that Valerie Cooper was in the firing line. So that's the question. Like, because those are some... That was a powerful Sentinel, okay? That thing was launching green... Godzilla-level atomic breath that's destroying everything in its wake. I mean, good lord, that thing... I mean, how did it even get that close? I mean, there's questions. And as my brother mentioned, Cable was there. Why was Cable there? Like, why was Cable there? And what happened to Madeline? She was kind of in ground zero. Did she shield herself? I mean, I've got questions. I mean, how sturdy do you need to be? Like, what was her distance from the nearest explosion to her? I mean, I have questions. Like, is Madeline alive? Is Madeline dead? I mean, there was so much in this episode. So much.
We'll get back to those. So, at the beginning of the episode, you had Hank McCoy and Beast being interviewed by Tris Tilby. I believe in the comic books that Tris Tilby and Hank were a thing. And
a brief thing. And I think he's had more time with his more recent lover, Abigail Brand, who debuted in Astonishing X-Men. Oh, I need
some Abigail Brand.
Oh, dear.
Oh, yeah. Did you know that in the comics, Beast, he has pheromones that can make him very appealing to the opposite sex? So in that episode, I really enjoyed it was like a 60-minute style where Tris Tilby said, hey, this is the front lines of the mutants. These are the X-Men. So he interviewed Jubilee, who was kind of has a thing for Mr. DaCosta, and that's pretty interesting. But what I really enjoyed was the interplay between Wolverine and the actual Jean Grey. We think it's the real Jean Grey. We're not sure. Is it clone for a clone? What's a clone? But
well, the real Jean Grey, please stand up. No,
Stewie, stand up. By the way, Eminem is coming out with a new album. My God, guess who's back? Shady's back. Well, Jean is back. Jean is back. Jean is back. Jean is back. But in any case, you had this really good interplay between Jean Grey and Wolverine. And my God, he gave me enough said, by the way. But he was just trying to reason as far as just say, hey, this is who you are. And I've been here for 100 years. So just have just friends just talking it out. And what I really enjoyed was Wolverine finally could have got what he wanted, was a little thirstiness of Miss Jean Grey. But when Jean kissed Wolverine, he said, look, this is not how it's supposed to go. You need to kind of talk to Scott. So,
Wow. So you're being a bit. So you think that Jean in that time of emotional vulnerability would have had sex with Wolverine? Are you saying
that? I do. I do. I think that there was vulnerability. So I think that because when Jean Grey was in the gurney, first came to the X mansion, and Wolverine would say, hey, this is me. You know me. So that's the first. So you had that instant, like, greeting. And Jean kind of found out, wow, this is how you feel about me. So she knows for sure Wolverine loves Jean Grey. She's not sure how Cyclops feels about her. Well, kind of, you know, not really that. I mean, when anybody sees somebody else with somebody else, especially a clone, and had a baby, and then we kind of answered the question as far as, hey, where's the psychic rapport? So really, for some reason, there's been a psychic rapport with Madeline prior, and Cyclops, but not the original OP Jean Grey. So that kind of like really pissed her off. And yeah, this is some really good interplay as far as just that connection. All connection doesn't have to be physical, which is a manifestation of what's been happening in the episode. So when we talk about connection not being physical, sometimes it is. Sometimes physical is physicality. So Rogue, her big thing is she needed that physical touch, and that's like a love language. So for folks that don't know, some people's love language is touch. That's physical intimacy, communication, quality time. So for Rogue, for her, is awesome is physical touch. And I love just seeing the interplay backstory between explaining the roles of Magneto and Rogue as far as Mystique, who trained Rogue as far as just how to be a mutant, but really be a bad person too. A bad mutant, part of the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. So you can see how Magneto, who is a goddamn certified G, because he can get any woman he wants. So he was able to really romanticize Rogue and say, hey, I'm going to be able to use my magnetic powers to paint and give you wine.
Titanic, make me like one of your French girls.
Oh my God. I mean, it was just, he put on a master class of how to seduce a mutant. I mean, he was like, I'm Magneto. And then when I was getting touched, I mean, obviously, so obviously, Rogue is not a virgin. Her flowers has been fertilized. So good on you, Magneto. Good on you. But just that physical touch, I mean, that's really all Rogue wanted with Gambit, was that physical intimacy, because he felt incomplete as far as not being able to have that touch. And when we talked about everything being, not all, everything being physical, Gambit valued that connection, that love connection as far as that it wasn't about the physicality, although yes, he wanted to consummate that because he wanted that role. But just that relationship there really showed as far as just his heartbreak. But even with the heartbreak, Remy was willing just to be Rogue's friend because he loves Rogue. And you can see a testament of any good relationship if a significant other really just wants to be your friend. That's a keeper. But still, it's pretty interesting. Kind of similar to my own personal life somewhat. So, as we move on, we talk about just the meaning, the deeper meaning of everything. So you have that as far as you have the public display of affection when Magneto asked Rogue to be his queen. And it was quite interesting. So,
and she shows up in that dress to kill.
Yes. And they had a seductive dance. And I'm pretty sure it's going to be mean where they kiss. And that just sealed the deal. And for Gambit, that just crushed him. That crushed him.
Now, of course, there's the question. So is he actively creating an electromagnetic field around his skin? Or is that just a passive ability of his powers? Because, I mean, if he has to consciously keep that going, I can't see how he could, you know, that's a gamble that you don't want to do with sex. Like, if you lose your concentration for a second, you know, she's going to suck the life out of you. And not in a fun way.
Well, it's Magneto, so he can control his blood flow, so he probably has a constant heart on, you know, because, you know, he can control the blood and iron in his blood. And
Are you referencing a recent event with that statement, brother?
Oh, you mean iron in your blood?
Oh, no. Oh, okay. So you're talking about X2, too much iron in your
blood. Well, yes, that did happen in X2. That was a long time ago. But yes, that was recent. And Mr. Leroy, too much iron in your blood. And he's correct. When a beautiful woman comes to you, be happy, but be suspicious sometimes. Because it could be Mystique. You never know. But
now, much more recently, there was a big event, AXE Avengers X-Men and the Eternals. And in this event, this bad guy, his name was Uranus, was sent to Mars. The mutants were living on Mars. It's called Arako now. And And he slaughtered all the mutants on Mars. And he had to fight Magneto. And it was a big knockdown, drag-out fight. And he ripped out Magneto's heart. And that should have ended it. But Magneto used his powers to pump his own blood without a heart. Because Magneto's a G. And enough said. Now,
I would like to see that animated in season 3.
Not gonna happen.
No. Well, I just saw Gambit die. So, I mean, he definitely died on it. So I guess we'll get to what we're talking about. Gambit died. I mean, definitively. So they better not bring him back. Please do not bring him back. Because he definitively died. And I don't want to see it. I never wanted to see him die, but I mean, he went out like a G. So during the episode, this crazy Sentinel came and destroyed all of Genosha. Now, I thought that this event was going to happen towards the end, like episode 8, 9, and 10, because it's a three-parter. My God! What's going to happen during that episode? My God, this is the fifth episode. And as Jim Ross used to say, business has about to pick up because that Sentinel did a slobber knocker on Genosha. It's gone. It is gone. So really, Gambit, to be heroic and save the day, he probably showed all his power that he could. And used his bow staff to stab it and charge the actual bow staff to get with kinetic energy that went into the Sentinel to destroy the Sentinel. But with that...
We should have picked up on it by now because he has so many cool moments, much like Mystique did, Storm did before she was depowered, and much like Bishop did before he went to the future. So they give these awesome moments to a character before they write him out. It was just like this time... They punched his number because he used his scarf and he charged the scarf and then he sent the charge through some debris to blow it up before it could crash into people. And he's going up these mountain passes with his bow staff swinging, riding Sentinel helmet heads into buildings. I mean, he just used his bike as a projectile to knock Rogue off course. I mean, he was so badass in this episode. I mean, my word. He was just the ballers, and they gave him a nice suit to wear. You know, if you're going to go to your funeral, you got to be well-dressed, I suppose.
Well, he died like a certified G, and you can't teach that.
Oh, Enzo Amore.
That's right. Enzo Amore. But Gambit, rest in peace. This episode was amazing. I need to watch it again just to see more of the hints and traits. I want to know, hey, is Bandito alive? Nightcrawler was fantastic. He tried to be heroic, which he was. And it was nice to see the White Queen and Hellflyer Club that I think is dead, maybe. I mean, they were very definitive that a lot of mutants are dead. And the leader of the Warlocks, Callisto.
Well, I saw her eye pupils. Like, I don't know.
That might symbolize that she's dead. I think she's dead. Because, yeah, he's dead. So they went there. This was, like, really graphic. And one of the best episodes by far in the X-Men Legos. I mean, I was a big fan of Beyond Good and Evil, that story arc. Yes, you probably could say that you probably wish this episode to be a two-parter. Got it. Checkmate. Okay. Fair enough, but my God, I don't think it needed to be a two-parter because the massacre was quick. Usually massacres are quick. You never see it coming. And I didn't see this coming at all. So what's going to happen with Cable? What's actually going to happen with Bishop? Is Magneto alive? What's going to happen over the next five episodes? I don't know, but I give this episode a 10. My God! Yahtzee!
You said this is the greatest X-Men related thing you've ever seen?
Yeah! I'm having euphoria, but it's pretty damn good. Check back with me in a few weeks. I might have to change my mind, but this is up there. It's really good. I think Beyond Good and Evil was still better for me. But just my initial thoughts, remarkable. The animation was tight. the mutant cameos tight, and they did not use a morph. It was phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. Oh, my gosh. Do you have any final thoughts on this amazing episode?
Absolutely. Jean was looking really mighty powerful. I mean, that's a lot of water she had to displace in the swimming pool, the lake. I mean, she had to keep that water displaced, and she was making... I don't know how she was looking at her memories in the water. That's an interesting thing. So, I don't know how to do it. That was cool. And let's see. A nice, interesting reference of... So, a couple of things. Okay, so... When Rogue bought an apple at the Genosha market, it did not look like she paid with American dollars. So, I don't know if Genosha uses... What currency Genosha uses. So, I just kind of picked up on that. Another thing, though, is if we want to make an... Like, we're going to overthink this, is the biblical angle. He ate an apple, and the apple was in the tree of knowledge. And so it wasn't an apple tree, though. That's a translation error. The word for knowledge and apple was the same in where is it knowledge and apple or not? Or apple and evil are the same in Greek. So that's why it became an apple tree. But the man ate the apple first. And so he was the one who was cursed with death. And Rogue did not eat of the apple. So that's just some random thing to look at. But more importantly, to wrap this up, an interesting moment was, as my brother brought up, that Scott was emotionally connecting with Madeline via psychic rapport, and then Jean found out. And Madeline was like, oh, sorry, my mind drifted for a moment. And Emma was like, oh, yes, mind drifting. Because Emma's a telepath, too, so she probably was aware of what was going on. Now, in the comics, however, it went differently. Scott Summers was, at this time, mostly distant from Jean because he had just gotten separated from Apocalypse and it left him a lot darker and grimmer. And he needed therapy, so he went to therapy with Emma Frost. But it was like completely normal therapy, but it turned sexual in the psychic therapy, and then it turned into a physical relationship in the real world. Jean found out. Then she died again because she got phoenixed again, and they don't know what to do with a phoenix-powered Jean Grey, so they just decided to kill her. So then Scott starts dating Emma. So it was interesting that...
This is one of the last few comments I purchased when Wolverine found out, and Cyclops often blasted Wolverine out of the bedroom. It was an amazing comic panel, and it kind of went towards the dark path that honestly, Cyclops needed to take. He did a heel turn. So hopefully, either season 2 or 3, or if they have a 4, we see the heel turn of Cyclops.
So we're going to pick this up.
Yep, we'll pick this up. Thank you, brother, government brother, for your synopsis and brilliant evaluation of the show. And at some point, I'm going to do a brilliant connected universe of the Smurfs, Snorks, and Gummy Bears. But until then, enjoy the X-Men. This was amazing. 10 stars, ladies and gentlemen.